They had a title and then they had a secondary title. I got two titles up here. And this title came because I mentioned my title to Rocky on Thursday, maybe. And I had to add the second title. All in, not all in. Well, there's an all in that says, I've worked all day and I'm all in. How many of you have been all in after a hard day's work? That's the second half up there. But the first half is being all in. Meaning, like when you take your car and you're driving it in and you're ready to put the garage door down. You want the car all in. Not halfway. So, Lord, help us to grab on to what you have for us today, that we could see that you have wanted us to be all in, not halfway. Especially at the end of the age, when the doors are coming down, we want to be all in. All in, Lord. But we don't want to be out of rest. We don't want to be out of sorts. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this isn't, we're not trying to exert ourselves by being overexerted and being all in. We want to be completely in the kingdom. Completely in the kingdom. Whatever Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross was to bring us all the way in. All the way in. And He accomplished that. The trouble is, many Christians even do not believe that. And so they imagine themselves as being still in the world and still part of the world and get trapped in the world rather than seeing what Jesus has done about bringing us all the way into the kingdom. So our Father has redeemed us and reconciled us for the purpose of being in Him. In Him. In Colossians it says, for our Father qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, and He has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. So when we speak of Jesus, and we speak of the kingdom, and we speak of becoming in Him, we're in Him, but in His kingdom, where He is Lord. But it's about being in. So, Philippians 3, and to be found in Him. That is. And not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. How many of you know that when you try to get a righteousness of your own, you end up being all in? You end up being exerted and you end up being tired and that's not the all in we're looking for. Okay? Not having a righteousness of our own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, not by your efforts. Okay? Faith. But I press on so that I skipped a couple of things there, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Jesus. And I just want to encourage us all. Press in. Don't quit. Don't quit pursuing the knowledge of Jesus Christ. the knowledge of the cross. Whatever He has done for us, come to know it. Come to understand it. Ask for revelation from the Holy Spirit that we would be found in Him. All in Him. We want to be all in. And the point is He has already accomplished that. We enter in by faith, by believing. But that means we have to believe. How are you going to believe something if you don't know? So there is some knowledge that needs to come. Paul says it's a righteousness through faith, not following the law. So we are pressing in our faith. We can only enter in by faith. So press in by faith and lay hold of that. The focusing phrase here is through faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, starting at verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. That's a powerful statement. A powerful statement there. But the phrase you want to catch on to here is what? Multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. The godliness was brought through the true knowledge of Him. Yes, it's by faith. But how many of you know that there's faith outside of the true knowledge of Jesus Christ? Right? Do not many people walk by faith? It depends on what religion you're in, right? You can have faith in rubbing the belly of Buddha every morning. Well, some people believe that. I don't particularly believe in that. In fact, I think it is completely, really funny. I know that there's some people just rub their own belly and Buddha. I didn't look at you. But I've heard that. And it didn't come from an association of people you've hung out with. All right. What do we call believing in something that's not based on the true knowledge of Jesus Christ? You know what the name for that is? It's called idolatry. It's putting our faith into something other than the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's idolatry. John says, flee from idolatry. So you just can't base your faith on any old thing. It has to be based on the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, which comes by revelation. Preachers can preach, we can say good things, but the point is unless you have revelation for yourself, you probably aren't going to have faith for anything. You really need revelation. So hearing it is just the first part. Faith comes by hearing. So you hear, and hopefully faith rises up and you can believe. So, I don't know if I ended up reading all this. the magnificent, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature. That is the very wonder that's happened through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can become partakers of His divine nature. So, you see, once you know that, once you know that the very presence, the very person, the very life of Jesus Christ has come into me. In fact, in Colossians, what did Paul said this? He said, that's the mystery of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So there's something at work in you to do all these things. It's not you. And that very thing that's in you is bringing to you all the things that have been freely given to you. The Spirit of revelation. So we need to be hearing not only what preachers might say, but hearing what the Spirit is saying. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What does the word repent mean? Repentance kind of gets a bad name for itself because we've zeroed in and we've taken repentance and we've brought it into one thing that really concerns ourselves with sin. But repentance is so much more than that. It's so much more than that. When we read the Bible, and like in this particular case, repentance here was a changing in your mind. Right? Repentance is really changing your mind. And true repentance for God is really, where's your mind, by the way? Your mind isn't your brain, by the way. Have you ever had something in your brain and then finally it goes down and, oh, now I know it. It just moved into your mind. Moved into your into where your spirit and your soul are. But something went down. So it's changing your mind. In fact, Paul says in Romans 12, it says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's brain, eyes, feelings, like this kind of feelings, not emotional stuff. But you got all these things in your body. That's just to be sacrificed before the Lord. That isn't supposed to be the one. But he says, present that which is your spiritual service of worship, so that you may know the perfect will of God. And that He might transform your mind. He might renew your mind. You see, not this one. This one. The one that's in your soul. He's the lover of my soul. He loved my soul. And He's renewing my mind. Repentance is the changing of your mind concerning anything that was of the world and now is according to God. That's what repentance is. It's the idea that I understood something to be one way, and God said, no, it's not that way. Change your mind according to that, and start believing the true knowledge of Jesus. Okay, that's repentance. It's not just about, well, let's see, I need to repent. I got to confess some sins here. No. The Lord is changing our mind about a lot of things. But in this case, it says this. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Did I just move that? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Whatever you were believing in before, I have updated something here and something has changed through the cross of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Believe in that now. It's not about the law. It's not about that anymore. The law was just a tutor. Now it's about what? The Spirit. the Spirit. It's about following the Spirit, not about following the law. Change your mind. Change your mind. Yes, and we do need to change our mind about some of our behavior. But I'll tell you what. The obvious things that we call sin today are not the ones that God is so interested in. He's in about changing our mind about things that we think are good when they're not. That's what really needs to happen. So broaden your spectrum about repentance, because there's a lot of things in the world that aren't something to be followed at all. And they may not even register on the sin list that someone might come up with. Okay. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached. This whole thing about coming into the kingdom is so foundational and important for every believer to have faith that really the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, and that really we have been transferred into another kingdom. What about this kingdom? Where is it? Where do you view the kingdom to be? Is it something future that you're going to go into, or is it something now? Where is it? Where is this kingdom that Jesus has put us into, that the Father has put us into? The kingdom is in our midst. The kingdom is right here. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God has come. It did not come with signs that you can see, but it is in our midst. It's right here. It's not far away. It's not something to be, well, someday I'll get there. No, the kingdom has come. It is in us, it says. The kingdom is in you. The kingdom is in our midst. Now, faith has to come in here. Faith has to come in. And we're all in it. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father transfers you into the kingdom. It's not that you have to get in, but don't let anybody keep you from going in. Just go in. You don't have to ask permission from anybody to go into the kingdom of God. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the gospel, and you get to go in. You're in. You're in. You're all in. You're all in. But you have to appropriate that by faith. The only way you can really start living a kingdom life is to really believe that you're all in the kingdom and start living there. That is where God wants us to be. His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Search the Scriptures, brothers and sisters. Find out about Jesus and His knowledge. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He's given us. The kingdom is granted to us, and also His divine nature. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus was preaching in all the synagogues, that the kingdom has come. The kingdom. It'd be good that all who are born of God would diligently search the Scriptures about the gospel of the kingdom. But you can only receive it by faith. You can only receive it by faith and ask the Lord for revelation. But I'm telling you, it is very important for each one of us, each one of you, to know without a shadow of a doubt in your mind, that your mind would be renewed, that you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, only exist in the kingdom of God. That's where you belong. That's where you exist. That's where you have been moved. So, what's that song we sing at baptism all the time? Forget about yourself. No. How does that go? We're going to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. You know, if no one else is going to go, I'm going. Well, I'm telling you, if no one else goes, you go. You go into the kingdom. That's where He wants us. And it's a free gift. You don't get to earn the right to go into the kingdom. That was accomplished for you by Jesus Christ on the cross. You enter into the kingdom because of what Jesus has done, not with what you have done. Okay? He took care of some details. He took care of little details like your sin. He took care of that for you. He took care of your old nature. Another detail that needed to happen, that your body of flesh needed to be removed and buried in baptism. He took care of that for you. And He made it possible then for you to receive and to be joined to Him and have His nature. And now you live in a kingdom. In a kingdom. This is one of my scary verses in the Bible. I think we should, you know, around Halloween time, we could have our own scary little service. But this one scares me because of being a leader of some kind. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you let those who are entering to go in. Wow. That's not a good place for a leader to be, by the way. I think we should make it easy to go into the kingdom. So be careful that you are not defrauded or kept from going all in by some other gospel, which is really not a gospel at all. If there's any kind of a gospel you're listening to that makes you have to do something to get into the kingdom other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I would run from it. Okay. So we usually read the other version of this out of Matthew. This one's out of Luke. Seek His kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. What kind of picture do you have of God? Do you have this Father who just can't wait? You ever had a gift for your kid? You just can't wait to give it to them? Like for Christmas, you've got something special for your kids or something, and you're almost more anxious to give them the gift than they are to get it. Because it's something you really want them to have. That's our Father in heaven. He has gladly. Have you ever put a glad face on God? Huh? A glad face. He's glad. He's not, you know, thinking, well, okay, I'll give it to you too. No! He can't wait! He can't wait to give us the kingdom! He can't wait! He just wants to give it to you. He's happy! He's glad! He's for us. He's for us. He's for you. So whatever you think you might be lacking, once you're in the kingdom, it'll be added to you. It'll be added to you. He's glad to give you the kingdom. All that I have is yours. Where did you hear that? He told the elder brother that. The father told you, all that I have is yours. I'm telling you, the Father in heaven saying to you today, all that I have is yours. That's the Father's heart for us. All that I have is yours. We must rejoice. We must rejoice. We must be glad. For there are people coming in. There's people coming home. We must rejoice. But he tells you, you don't want to be the elder brother that says, I don't want to rejoice. That rascal, he shouldn't be in the kingdom. No. Rejoice. Be glad. The Father is glad. All that I have is yours. And He wants us to know that. Do not be afraid. Why did He say that? Do not be afraid. Because there are things. If you're not in the kingdom, there are things that you probably might become afraid about. He mentions those. I'll go through some of those. So, Luke 12. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid. This is just a little bit earlier, now in verse 4. For those who kill the body, and after that, no more that they can do. He goes on to say some things about you need to fear the Lord, who can not only kill the body, but throw the body in hell. But the thing is, do not be afraid. Once you're in the kingdom, what's one of the qualities of being in the kingdom, by the way? What?
The Father cares for you.
The Father cares for you. That's a quality. What kind of quality do you have now that you're in the kingdom? You have eternal life. You never die. You never die. So why be afraid if someone tries to threaten you, I'm going to shoot you? Why be afraid? Okay, we don't have to fear those who can kill the body because we have eternal life. Now, if you're not in the kingdom, you might want to fear that. Because, like Martin Luther says, you know, this is the only life you get. You better live it up. If that's all there is. I think Frank Sinatra also said that.
Sang about.
Okay. So do not be afraid for those who can kill the body. What can they do after that? What can they possibly do after that? They've killed my body. Okay, don't be afraid. Okay, here's another one. When they bring you before the judges, Reggie, when they bring you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not worry about what you are going to speak in your defense or what you are going to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say. You know, that's kind of scary sometimes when you have to stand up and say something. But you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to be afraid that you won't have the right words to say, because you will. You will have the right words to say. Looking at two clocks, one of them is dead. Okay. And he said to his disciples in verse 22, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, and for your body is what you'll put on, for the life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. So death is not to be feared. Being accused of whatever, your faith is not to be feared. Whether you have enough food or clothing, don't worry about it. We've been given a kingdom that far surpasses all these things. Believe in the gospel of the kingdom, and you'll know that that is your home. And in that home, you know, it's not about old Mother Hubbard who went to the cupboard. And she didn't find much. In the kingdom of God, you go and open it up and it's all filled. It's full. The kingdom of God is not lacking. And everything is filled in the kingdom of God. There's no empty shelves. God is not, His arm isn't so short, the scripture says, that He can't take care of whatever you think is so far beyond hope with your kids or whatever else you're worried about. No, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. And then put your faith in the Lord. Ask Him and then believe Him. Ask Him, but don't just ask Him and say, well, I don't know if it'll ever work out or not. No, start believing in God. Believe in Him. You live in this world as an alien and a stranger. An alien and a stranger. This is not your world. You're supposed to bear fruit in this world, but don't start thinking this world is it. And don't get caught up with those who are trying to make this world it. Okay? There might even be people who are believers who are still trying to make this world it. Don't get caught up in that. Believe that there is a kingdom that's not of this world. A kingdom that we belong to. So, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The three gifts in the kingdom of Jesus, righteousness, peace, and joy. None of those are achievable outside of the gospel of the kingdom. You can't have those without the kingdom. But they're freely given to us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by our Father. Have faith that you've been given the kingdom with all of its contents. All that I have is yours. The Father isn't withholding anything from us. Nothing is being withheld from you. Peace is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. Has anybody ever said to you, you need to make peace with God? Well, that's kind of backwards. He made peace with us. He did the work. How are you going to make peace with God? Well, we make peace with God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done. Because He is our peace. He is our peace. Joy is a gift. And the way you receive the gifts of God is by faith. You must believe that you have received them, and then you get them. Did you hear that? You can read about it in Mark 11, but whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received them, and then you get them. That's why I'm standing up here today. I was leaving. I was rushing out the door, running from whatever had just happened to me a couple weeks earlier. I've been baptized in the Spirit. But now I'm ready to leave. And I was ready to go. And an elderly brother by the name of John Goodrich caught me. And he says, I said, this might be for you, but not for me. I'm out of here. I understand, he said. Well, let me read you a scripture. And he read that scripture. Whatever you prayed for and asked, you got to believe that you've received them. Then you get them. And I left and I said, I think on the way home I told Candy, I said, well, I've never tried that. I mean, I got to believe and then I get it. Well, maybe I'll just try believe it. Well, I'm still believing it to this day. Some, how many years ago? I don't want to say. It's been a long time. So by faith, well, let me put it this way. Without faith, you'll be all in. You'll be all in, all right. But by faith, you can be all in. All in. Completely in the kingdom and in perfect rest. Perfect rest. 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 Those who have entered His rest can also rest from their own works, it says in Hebrews 4. We need to enter that rest. His completed work, His completed task is all done. So, as we take communion today, this is a covenant that He's made with us and established in His blood. He established this covenant for us that we can enter into all that He has. You know, we sang that song, Enter In. Well, we enter in today. Where is this temple? Where is this place we enter? Where is this Holy of Holies? What is that? We're going to enter into that. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Tear this temple down, I'll build it up in 3 days. We enter into Him. And how do we enter in? By faith, by believing. You get to enter into the temple. The temple. Not the shadow, into the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ. We dwell in Him, in His kingdom. We're all in, but we need to believe that. Believe it. Believe it with all your heart. And when you take communion today, know that that covenant is a forever. You know why the covenant that He established in His blood is everlasting? He didn't make it with you, you know. He made that covenant with Himself. But He became a man. He became the man of Jesus Christ and somehow represents all of us that believe in Him. And that covenant was established with God Himself through the Father and the Son by the work of the Holy Spirit. That covenant is an everlasting covenant. It cannot be broken. It can't change. Because God established it with Himself. And by those witnesses, it's everlasting. So know that for sure. When someone, or when you get feeling like you're not doing something right, and you feel like all of a sudden, no, don't listen to that. Believe who you are. Stay in the kingdom. And believe that you're a child of God and that your body, which needs to be sacrificed, may still miss the mark. The bodies still tend to sin. That's why we need to sacrifice those. But who you are and what's being saved in you, your soul, by the Spirit of Christ that's within you, know this, that's forever with Him in the kingdom. Don't let your bodies be your identity, but let the soul and the spirit within you be who you are and take authority over your body. Because your body will still tend to miss the mark from time to time. But that's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ Jesus forever. Holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. that was accomplished through His death and resurrection. And why we take communion is because we bring back to remembrance what Jesus has done.